You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
The scripture reading today is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 through 31, which is the end of the chapter. Now ye are the body of Christ, and the members in particular, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. All are apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you unto you a more excellent way. Father, we ask now that you add blessing to the reading of your holy word. For us, Christ, and we pray in the name, we ask it, amen.
Okay, well, it's nice to be back in the pulpit, and of course it was very nice to be ministered to as well, to sit in the pew and listen to all kinds of speakers. It's really nice for a preacher to do that, and to listen and to see how people preach and teach, get ideas from them. It refreshes you, and I really have refreshed myself well and truly from that, and really appreciate that. Now, up here, you might see from the background as part of the Truth for Today sign. I'll come back to this, but here is the actual picture of the Truth for Today Bible Fellowship. And, you know, you think about various ministries around the world that come, and some of them are striking, you know, in their impact. And others may not be ostensibly impactful and seen by the world in some great light. But people that understand truth, they can many times rally around these, and that when the leaders pass on, they say, no, we cannot allow this ministry to die. We cannot allow it to die. And this is basically the case of this ministry, where now men and women have been involved heavily in making sure that this goes forward. By the way, this is Oscar Baker's, the remains of his books, and quite an interesting place inside there. Now, from last time, that's 2 weeks back, we looked at all sorts of nice material and interesting instruction which comes out of the book of Acts, and specifically the book of 1 Corinthians. And if you don't understand the place of 1 Corinthians and what the book of Acts is all about, and seeing that the book of 1 Corinthians finds itself in the book of Acts, then you're in for a lot of trouble. And the very oracles of God that should bring you light and liberty and freedom can be misapplied, and people can find themselves into this jail situation, a type of jail, where they're stuck into various traditions. And awful things can happen from this. And people can misconstrue the nature of these traditions, plus the truth of the traditions, and end up putting people right off. For example, I was told this by one individual at the conference, that there was a Jewish man who came to see Right Division from a misapplication of traditions. He went to a particular fellowship. His wife was formerly a Presbyterian. And so the Presbyterians don't do immersions in water, you see. Well, this particular fellowship, it was time to have communion, right? So you can see all sorts of traditions going on in this fellowship. Now, the elder in charge came to the individual, this man who was married, and he was there at the fellowship with his wife, and said to him, would you mind awfully if you just told your wife not to partake of the emblems because she hasn't been immersed? So he had to tell his wife, well, you have to let the emblems go by because they don't accept your baptism. Now, can you imagine the kind of separation that goes on and the kind of anguish that happens because of traditions? Traditions. Various types of traditions will put people into jail. Now, it's not only the traditions themselves. It's what men and women do with these traditions on top of them and make them really terrible, terrible visions of the vision. And it's a slippery slope, as I say. And what is the solution to this? Well, the solution to this is to understand that the book of Acts was a time when Jew was first, when various traditions associated with Israel were being performed. But something happened at the end of the book of Acts which changes all of that. That's why I say right division is Acts 28. Any other kind of right division that you want to show me, no, it's going to fall short. It won't be right in truth. It will be some kind of division, but it won't be right division. Was there water baptism in the book of Acts? Yes, there most definitely was water baptism. You can find it all over the place. There wasn't just one baptism. There were many baptisms. Did Paul baptize? Well, in 1 Corinthians we've read. Down here it says, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Well, he did baptize. What does he say about it? Well, he thanks God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I have baptized in mine own name. Well, that's the reason why he's thanking God that he didn't baptize. But if you follow the story in the book of Acts, Paul then said, Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So Paul certainly did baptize. He baptized with water. There was a water baptism during the book of Acts. There was the Lord's Supper. These are all types and shadows. These things happened. There were signs and wonders. Yes, these things happened. Why? Because these were all a part of Israel's picture book. And to try and rip them out of context and try and lay them on people today is going to create a lot of trouble. Lots of trouble. We're seeing it today. Lots of trouble happening from these types of traditions. For example, look at this business of baptism. If you look at chapter 12 where we're in, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. This aligns perfectly with the former baptism in chapter 10, where it talks about Israel, where it says, and we're all baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All baptized. Yes, that's right. And we're all made to drink. Yeah, the same wording. Exactly the same word. Complete parallel going on with these two baptisms. And so it's to do with Israel. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Yes, it was. Baptism into one body, not unique in the book of 1 Corinthians and through the book of Acts. And we'll look at some of these passages shortly. But when you get to the book of Ephesians, then of course you're jumping across the Jordan, Acts 28 being the Jordan. So back over here in the book of Acts, you certainly have, you know, I'll use some mathematical symbol, right? Greater than two baptisms. Okay, you'll find many baptisms in the book of Acts. They're there. You can't deny them. They're there. We can find it. We can read the passages. They're there. Okay, that's fine. But when you jump across the Jordan, that is Acts 28, you find Paul speaking here in 4 or 5. He says, one Lord. It's very interesting here because if you look at the word for one, heis mia hen, according to the gender. So if you just look at this, quite a good Greek lesson. Heis mia, and then hen. Those are just the different forms of the same word, one. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One baptism. One of them. Not two. And where do we find this? We find this in chapter 4. Chapter 4. This is the beginning of the practical section. The practical section of Ephesians. So we've got to practically keep one baptism. That's how we're going to do it. If we want to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, the unity that the Spirit has made, then we must keep this one baptism. Well, we're not going to keep one baptism by introducing more than one. It's not going to work. And by keeping one baptism, therefore we stay consistent with the new revelation given to us by Paul the prisoner. Okay, today, what are we going to do today? Well, let's go have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse 27, because that's basically where we're up to. And I've got up here mid-Acts, the assumption. Well, I better not sort of go into the same explanation I do for classical statistics about this word assumption, because if you don't get your assumptions right, you make a certain type of person out of yourself, which we won't go any further. The assumption, mid-Acts. If you build a house, man, and I'm very interested in knowing exactly what they did to the foundations of our house, because if you look at New Ulla and that area all around Thunderbird, the soil is sand. I've never seen anything like it. Boy, it's the easiest thing in the world to dig a garden there, man. You just go straight in. It's just sand. But if you don't get the right kind of foundations, man, you're in trouble. Foundations are important. Now, if you want to build the foundation of the church for which Christ is head, and you want to do it here in the book of Acts, let me tell you, there's going to be some problems. One end's going to break down, or the other's going to crack. This end will fall down, and finally, the whole structure will collapse, and you'll just get a complete mess, which is what is happening today in many parts of professing Christianity. It's happening, and people get sick and tired of it. They get sick and tired of seeing the thing collapsing around them. And so what do? Well, they stop reading the scriptures. They say, hey, let's forget about the scriptures. Let's just have a good time. We're saved. We're saved by grace. Let's just have a good time, man. And let's bring in the rock and roll. You know what I'm saying? Let's just have a good time, because we can't really see any sense in what's going on in the Bible. Let's not bring in any kind of conflicting passages. Let's forget about the Bible. We'll make a homily out of one verse. That's not right. That's not the solution to the problem. The solution to the problem is to rightly divide the word of truth. And understand, my friends, that you're building on the wrong foundation, right? You're trying to build in the book of Acts when Jew was first. What you need to do is something else, is move to the area where Paul the prisoner came and gave us new truth. Over here, mid-Acts, the assumption. Yes, people who start the church in the middle of Acts are going to come to grief. But I want you to look at this verse. Let's have a look at it carefully. It says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now ye are. Ye. Okay, here. Now ye are. Now notice in here, we just look at the green box first. Soma Christu. Body of Christ. You notice there's no definite article in there. There's no definite article. It just says, now ye are, that's okay, ye are, body in Christ, body of Christ. If you were to translate it very literally, you would say, well, there's no definite article there. Now ye are a body of Christ. And the members in particular, that causes some problems in my mind too. What on earth does that mean? What does that verse mean? Ye are a body of Christ, and this members out of a part. That's literally what it says. So I have to ask myself, what on earth does this verse mean? That's a good question. So what we'll do is we'll take it apart, and we'll get some idea by going to other epistles of Paul during this time. So let's have a look at Romans 12. We'll just visit there, just back a book, Romans chapter 12. We'll read back up a little bit and verse 3. For I say, so this is Romans 12 verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Oh, wait. So let's think about that passage again. Okay, now you are body of Christ, literally. And usually without the article, you put in there the indefinite article. Now you are a body of Christ. Well, if you take that literally, it would tend to indicate to me that there is the possibility of another body of Christ. Right? A body of Christ there at Corinth and a body of Christ in Rome. Now, you say, well, okay, but why does the King James put the body of Christ? Well, because that makes sense also, because he's referring and talking about the body of believers at Corinth, and he's talking about all the problems and concentrating on this particular body, and therefore the body, but the body in Corinth. The indication, though, is because it doesn't have the article there, it does remind us of the possibility of another body. We find it here in Romans 12. Look what he says, verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Have you thought of this possibility? That when a body, for example, would be formed in Rome, these are believers, that, yes, there will be similar problems as those in Corinth, but different as well. Similar, but different. It could be that at Rome, they had sins, they had difficulties, they had local laws that come from the secular government instituted in that particular locality, which would cause them problems. And therefore, the gifts that God would give, remember, that is the Christ, the anointing. The anointing that they would receive would be appropriate for where they were as a body of believers. And they would function there as a body of believers with various gifts helpful to their situation. Then in Corinth, they would have their gifts and their members set together in a way that would function correctly for their area also. Okay, well, that's kind of interesting to me. So as you read through this, so we being many are one body in Christ, that is, right in that area, and everyone members one of another. If you go across the Jordan and you look at Ephesians, look what it says here in Ephesians 3, verse 6, that the Gentiles. Now here we go, when we read Ephesians, Paul is no longer interested in dealing simply with the Ephesians. He now broadens his scope and talks about the Gentiles. He talks about the mystery which had been hid and then revealed. And it's for all, right? It becomes much wider in scope. He says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. When it says the same body, it's this word here, susoma, susoma. This comes from sun, that means with, and soma, which means body. Sun, soma, the with body. Are you with it, man? Because the with body is the joint body. It's nothing like that metaphor that you find back in 1 Corinthians 12, where you have uncomely parts. What? Yeah. Uncomely parts. Look at this. Hold your place there. You're not there, but you better hold your place there anyway. Ephesians chapter 3. So go there, and then we'll go back and compare. So find Ephesians 3 and verse 6. Then put one hand in there. Okay? Then go to 1 Corinthians 12. You see, the mid-Acts brethren want to say that the body that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12 is the same as the body mentioned right here in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6. And what I'm suggesting to you is there's no way, Jose, that that's the case. They are very different bodies. And as I say, there are many bodies. There's a body in Rome. There's a body in Corinth. Okay, have a look at this. In 1 Corinthians, in chapter number 12, and let me find this passage. It's right here in verse 23. And those members of the body which we think... Okay, so we, that is the Corinthians and Paul, we think a certain way. It's not necessarily the truth. It's how we think. Okay, I understand that argument. So it's just follow my argument here. I'm trying to show you how people could argue around what I'm saying. Now it says this, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. Okay, so that's how we think. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Oh, wait a minute. This has nothing to do with how we think. This has to do with how things really are. There are uncomely parts. You see the point? There are uncomely parts. And what we should do, we should bestow upon them more abundant comeliness. See, that's the thing about this. So there are uncomely parts in the body in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There is no way in the wide world you can get uncomely parts in this susoma. It's not there. This is a joint body. No uncomely parts. All important parts. No inequality in the parts. You see? There's no metaphor of the body here, as in the human body. But there is the metaphor of the human body in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, if there are any parts to be mentioned, there's membership to the body but not to the head. So the head is Christ, and the body, of course, is the body of Christ that we have today. And they're not the same. But in 1 Corinthians 12, well, there's membership to the head. There's the eyes. There's the ears. Very different situation going on there. Very different. Okay, that's cool. That's very interesting. So, yes, let's move on. So we're seeing this indication of no definite article was a good insight and how this is a bit different. But let's go on. It says in our English translation, I have no problem with the translation. It's just understanding what it means. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. What on earth does that mean? In particular. Going through this again. And members, that's plural. And members, ek merus, that's singular. Out of part, literally. And members out of part. What on earth can that mean? What can it mean? Now, let's move to here. I've done a bit of a study on this, and I've learned something. Never be quick on deciding what something means. Never. Hold off until you check it all out. Now, I'll show you how this part business is used. Part can never mean whole. That's one thing, right? If you've got a part, it doesn't equal whole. All right? So that idea of part must remain. It has to be there. In some way, it's not complete. So, let's go through Romans 11. Let's have a look at Romans 11, verse 5. Let's have a look at this. And just so you can see the consistency of this idea of part, Romans 11, 5, even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And then down to verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part, is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. So blindness was not total at this time. At the time of the writing of Romans, blindness was not complete, only part. Well, that's an important doctrine because that tells us about what was going on during the book of Acts. Blindness was not all the way through Israel. And Paul would not give up on Israel. All right? There's only a time when that happened, and it's magnified and shown at Acts 28. So we've got part, right? Part. Part blindness. Okay, cool.
Let's go across to
chapter 15, verse 15 of Romans. Let's have a look at it. Okay, it says this. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. In verse 24, it says this, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled. See, if I first be somewhat filled. It's in part, you see, the part filling. Well, you can go through all these passages, go right through 1 Corinthians, and the idea of part comes up over and over and over again. But I want you to look at one passage which is very suggestive. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 27. This is it here. Where is it? Here it is. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that according to part, is literally what it says. And that according to part. And it translates, and that by course, and let one interpret. And that by course, and that by part. You see, it's according to the part. There was a state of order in which things should be done, and this order was to be done in particular. It was to be done in part. It was a course that was to be observed. So if you go back to 1 Corinthians 12, when it says, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. It's meaning that they are members by course of function, out of the part that they needed to play in particular. The part they needed to play in particular. So there was a body, like I say. This backs up what I was saying before. There was a body at Rome, and it would function according as it needed for that particular set of circumstances, in particular, you see? And same at Corinth. It would be put together in particular, by part and course, according to the needs that were there. It's by part. The body that's formed there, in Corinth and in Rome, was by part. It was in particular. Very different to the way in which the body is formed right over here in Ephesians. It was not done in the same way. It was given and created by God. At the end of the book of Acts, it did not evolve. No evolution. It did not evolve out of the book of Acts. It was freshly created. Wow, there's some very interesting things here. There is one body. In Ephesians 4:4 says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your call. There is one body. Well, my friends, we can find more than one body in the book of Acts. We can find more than one baptism in the book of Acts. Very different situation once Paul comes and gives us this revelation. And I've shown you about this Susoma here. Okay. Coming across now to verse 28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. All right, here it all is. Notice, after that, so you got 1, 2, 3, and then after that. Last time I showed you about that, right? If you go across to Ephesians 4, that after that's gone. It's not there. And then it says in verse 29, are all apostles, are all apostles. Now, in the construction there, where it says, are all apostles, there's a question mark. What's the answer to that? Are all apostles? What's the response? Now, in the Greek text, there is a little particle called me.
And that means no. That means the response to this has to be no. It has to be. It's not a question of me guessing from the context. The grammar demands that an answer come no.
There's no question about this. Sometimes Greek really helps. This is one case. But not always. You know, sometimes you just have to get from the context what something means. But in this particular case, the Greek tells us the answer to this question and the others that follow is no. Are all apostles? Meh. Are all prophets? Meh. Are all teachers? Meh. Are all workers of miracles? Meh. Have all the gifts of healing? Meh. Do all speak with tongues? Meh. Do all interpret? Meh. No, no, no. Now, people today who try to resurrect all the signs and the wonders and the traditions and all the shadows and types and pictures that we read about here in 1 Corinthians, they'll try and put it to people and say, you must speak in tongues. Well, even when the thing was workable, not everyone spoke with tongues, you know? But today what you have are people trying to say, well, you've got to show the evidence of being filled with the Spirit of God, and that will be speaking with tongues. Come here. And they get a person, and they say, poof, put you under the water there, rip them up, now, speak. No, get back in there, rip them up, speak now, or forever hold your peace. And basically, they have to invent it. They have to invent this stuff. And people get on the spot and on edge, and they have to do things which are ridiculous because of false interpretation. First of all, the big mistake is taking things which don't even belong to you in this age, and then, of course, misinterpreting even what's written during for those people in that age. And then it says this in verse 31. Look at this. This is beautiful, the way it's written. But covet earnestly the best or greater, that's what it means, the greater gifts. You mean there are better or greater gifts? Well, that's pretty amazing. Yes, there are. Wow, there are uncomely parts and there are greater or better gifts. Wow, and then he goes on and he says, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Hodos, the road, the way. He doesn't say, and yet I show unto you a better gift. No. Doesn't say a better gift. A better way. A better road, man. Now, people, unfortunately, have gone down the wrong road, man. And what we are here to show you is a far better road. You know, a road, man, a highway that's going to take you somewhere. It's not going to end in disaster, you know. Not like this roadrunner. He always, you know, has this bad ending. Now, never seems to get a meal out of this, you know, stuff. And the coyote. So, this is interesting. Next time we'll look at this road, which is mentioned in chapter 13. And we'll go through it in a lot of detail. So, we've finished our chapter 12. Lots of good meat in there, man. Lots of good stuff. I can't wait to get into chapter 13. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time we've had together in the book of 1 Corinthians 12. And we ask, Lord, that You'd guide us and lead us through our lives. We think of those unwell, those that are sick from various causes, some who are plainly in the latter time of their life. Lord, we pray that we could comfort them and put in front of them the memories that they need, Lord, to feel that comfort. And most of all, to remind them of the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. We thank Thee, Lord, for our salvation in Him. We thank Thee for the book which is now open to us because of Right Division. We thank Thee for the ministry of rightdivision.com, Lord, that You'd bless it, multiply it, and draw people to it who need to hear this wonderful truth, that they would be freed from the jail of wrong assumptions. We thank Thee in Christ's name. Amen. His name is wonderful.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.